ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 2 அவிரோத அத்யாயஹ. ஃபர்ஸ்ட் பாதம் ஸ்மிருத்யதிகரணம். ஸ்மிருத்யனவகாசதோஷப்ரசங்கேத் ந அந்யஸ்மிருத்யனவகாசதோஷப்ரசங்காத் இத்தரேஷாம் ச அனுபலப்தே யோக ப்ரத்யுக்ததிகரணம். ஏதேன யோகஹ ப்ரத்யுக்தஹ விலக்ஷணத்வாதிகரணம் அபிமானி வ்யபதேசஸ்து விசேஷ அனுகதிப்யாம் த்ருஷ்யதே தூ அஸதிதி சேத் ந பிரதிஷேதமாத்ரத்வாத் தர்க்கா பிரதிஷ்டானாத் அப்யன்யதா அனுமேயமிதி சேத் ஏவமபி அனிர்மோக்ஷ ப்ரசங்கஹாம். செகண்ட் சாப்டர் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் பாத 8th சூத்ர 142nd ரன்னிங் பிரம்மசூத்ர. திஸ் இஸ் எ வெரி இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் சூத்ர. அண்ட் இன் திஸ் சூத்ர ஓன்லி Vyasacharya establishes the point that Tarka will not help in gaining the knowledge of the ultimate reality. Ultimate reality is beyond the scope of Tarka, logic. As said in the Kathopanishad, Naisha Tarkena Matirapaneya Prokta Anyenaiva Sujnanaya Preshta. So, Yesha Matihi, this knowledge cannot be attained through tarka. And aniyan hetarkyam anupramanat, again in Kathopanishad itself. So this is atarkyam, beyond tarka. And that is why we say that Vedanta is neither logical nor illogical. The word logical and illogical can be used only with respect to something which falls within the field of logic. Swami Chanmayananda, he uses the word illogical, illogical, beyond both. And what is not available through pratyaksha and logic can be known through only shastra pramana. Pratyakshena anumityava yastupayona buddhyate yenam vidanti vedena tasmat vedasya vedata. Veda is pramanam which functions within the field of reality or similar thing which doesn't fall within the scope of pratyaksha and anumana pramanas. And jagat karana, the cause of the universe or Brahman, does not fall within the field of satarka. And why it cannot be inferred by logic? We have discussed this before when we discussed the second Brahma Sutra, namely Janmadhyasya Yataha. And therefore, we won't repeat it here. You can please refer to those lectures. Second Sutra. And we need to remember this much, that Jagat Karanam cannot be inferred. And therefore, in the Shastra, if at all we make use of logic, it is a different type of logic. Since the regular logic is beyond the scope of Jagat Karanam, we use another logic which is based on the data collected from Shastras. What is regular logic which we understand? It is a logic based on data collected through perception. Vedantic logic is one based on data collected from Shastras. And what we deal with, when we deal with worldly topics, like for example, age of the moon, we use regular logic because we can collect the data from the moon perceptually. We can collect the moon rocks. Actually, long, long time ago, I have myself done those studies using moon rocks. We can use the data to find the age of the moon and all that, like carbon dating and also many methods are available, 4.5 billion years. Similarly, studying diseases also. But in the case of Jagat Karanam Brahma, if one tries to use regular logic, we can say that logic won't work. We call it dry logic. It is called shushka tarkaha, dry logic. We are not totally negating regular logic. We say it should be used for regular things, but not for Jagat Karanam Brahma. Okay. Then the next question will be, if I use regular logic for Jagat Karanam, what will happen? It will become speculative philosophy and not conclusive philosophy. One will get different conclusions arrived at by different people. And one can never know what is correct also. That is why the study of cosmology by scientists, if one keeps track of it, one can find that theories after theories after theories have come. But no one is sure which is correct. Big Bang theory was said for some time. And now it is questioned also. And they talk about foam theory or string theory, so many things for some no time. And so where Tarka has no access, what will happen? And if you see this sutra, it says, Tarka apratishtanat. Tarka is inconclusive. We will not be able to arrive at anything using this logic and not with respect to Jagat Karana. And not only that, we cannot find Tarka dosha also in Vedantic teaching. This is very, very significant. We will try to explain it actually. So let us, we have to closely follow that. For example, when I see a particular color with the help of my eyes, that color can be verified by another person by using which instrument? Through his eyes only. If there is a debate regarding color, in that debate, you can either accept it or reject it only by using the eyes, because eyes alone can verify that particular color. Suppose I use the ears to verify the color. Can the ears prove the color? Ears cannot prove the color. Or can the ears disprove the color? It cannot disprove the color also, because ears have no access to the color. Similarly, suppose there is a Tarka-based philosophy and another philosopher can logically prove or disprove it, because the very philosophy is based on Tarka. Just as the color can be proved or disproved by the eyes and not the ears. Now, we don't claim Vedanta to be a Tarka-based philosophy at all. And therefore, one can never try to logically prove or disprove Vedanta, because Tarka is one means of knowledge and Vedanta is another means of knowledge. That is Shastra Pramanam. And therefore, the color cannot have ear virodha. See, I am using a different term now. The color cannot have ear virodha, because the ear cannot either contradict the color or prove the color. So where is the question of contradiction itself? In the same way, the samanvaya of Vedanta can never be either proved by Tarka or disproved by Tarka. Therefore, one cannot talk of Tarka, Tarka Virodha at all. Therefore, Tarka is inconclusive, is our statement, Vedantin statement. With respect to what? With respect to Jagat Karanam Brahma. Just as when we see ears cannot prove or disprove colors, because it does not have an access to the color. We don't say ears are useless. Ears can function in the field of sound, but incapable or non-functional with respect to color. Therefore, with respect to Jagat Karanam, Tarka has no access. It is apramanam. This is the first point we communicate through this sutra. And the second point is the Purvapakshi's question. The sutra is like a dialogue. It has three parts. The first part is the Vedantin statement. And the second part of sutra is the question from Sankhya philosopher. And the third part is again answer from Vedantin. And what is the essence of the first part? Tarka is inconclusive. It is invalid. And therefore, it has no right to come to Vedanta and talk of illogicality. This I used the term yesterday also. Not the Sankhya philosopher. No, he misunderstands our statement. He misunderstands our statement. What was our statement? Tarka or logic is invalid is our statement. And the Sankhya philosopher thinks that we have said that Tarka is totally invalid. He misunderstands us that we are rejecting Tarka Pramanam itself. And he gives a big lecture to us. without understanding what we are trying to say. It is like when I say ear is invalid, keeping the color field in mind, then the student were to ask me, if ear is invalid, how can I attend the class? Even if ears are valid, for many it might go to sleep in the class. Similarly, thinking that we are saying tarka is invalid totally, Sankhya says that there are two types of tarkas. When he says this, he is forgetting the context of Brahman, but says in the worldly context, he makes this statement. There are two types of tarka. Actually, this is discussed in the Tarka Shastra elaborately. And the two types of tarkas are, one is called fallacious logic, defective logic, or improper logic. We call it savadhya tarkaha. Avadhyam means defect. Sa avadhyam means with the defect. So it is a defective logic. And the second logic is proper logic. It is called niravadhya tarka, without defect. Defect-free tarka, we can call it. So when he says this, he has the regular worldly thing in mind, like for example, finding out the age of the moon, as I said. And in tarka, it is discussed very elaborately, both these types of tarkas. What are the fallacies in logic? And they talk about pancha hetu abhasaha also. There are so many pancha hetu abhasaha, five defects in logic. And if any one of them, any one or more of them are there, it is called defective logic. And then defect-free logic is also there. Having said all, we don't have to go into any of those details. I'm just only saying this, that those things are, they exist. So having said this, the Sankhya philosopher says, defective logic is invalid. And therefore, defective logic cannot be used to criticize Vedanta. And then the Sankhya says, even though defective logic is invalid, there is another logic called proper logic, which is not invalid. So he said there are two types of logics. One logic is invalid logic, another is proper logic. And he says, yes, invalid logic is not useful, but there is another logic called effective proper logic. And then he claims, with valid or proper logic, we can criticize Vedanta. That is, apratishtita tarkena, with improper logic. I cannot charge you, but pratishtita tarkena, with proper logic, I can charge you. Who says? Sankhya says. For that Vedantin, he gives the answer. And what is the answer he gives? Vedantin says, with respect to worldly topics, like age of the moon and all that thing, you means the Sankhya, can make this division. That is, defective logic cannot come to conclusion, all that you can say. But effective logic only can come to the conclusion on what? On worldly topics. Whereas, with respect to Brahman topic, Jagat Karanam topic, whether it is invalid logic or valid logic, apratishtita tarkova, pratishtita tarkova, whichever it is, or savadhya tarkova, or niravadhya tarkova, any type of logic cannot criticize Vedantic teaching. Why? Because Vedantic teaching does not deal with a topic which falls within the field of logic. Very important. Vedantic teaching does not fall within the field of logic. What is the example? We already said, one cannot use ears, nose, tongue, or skin. All of them, even though powerful in their own field, have no right to criticize colors revealed by the eyes. Similarly, the pancha pramanas. What are the pancha pramanas? Pratyaksha pramana, anumana pramana, upamana pramana, arthapatti pramana, anupalabdhi pramana, all these five pramanas have no right to criticize Vedanta. Pratyaksha pramana is direct knowledge. Anumanam is inference. Upamana is comparison. Arthapatti is knowledge arrived through presumption or postulation. Anupalabdhi, I have already discussed all this. I'm just only saying that here. Absence of something is perceived, non-perception. So because Vedanta is in the field which is beyond tarka, thus tarka apratishtanam eva, all tarkas are invalid. Tarkas are apratishtanam eva. They are invalid. both valid and invalid tarkas. Because he said two types, both of them are invalid with respect to Vedanta, with respect to Brahman teaching. This is the general analysis of this sutra. In fact, this sutra has got two interpretations also. First, we will see the running meaning. Perhaps later we will go to the second interpretation also. So the running meaning of the first interpretation is what? We will see that first. Tarka apratishtanat. Since logic is inconclusive or invalid, then there is no logical contradiction in Vedantic teaching that we have to supply. That is not said in the sutra, that we have to supply. Since logic is inconclusive or invalid, there is no logical contradiction in Vedantic teaching. This is the Siddhanti statement. And I said the sutra has three parts. First is Siddhanti statement, and then Purapakshis is what he says. Anyata anumeyam. Anyata anumeyam means contradiction is to be inferred differently. Anyata, differently. It has to be inferred. Contradiction is, that has to be understood. It has to be supplied by us. Through conclusive or valid logic, that also we have to supply. That is not there in the sutra. So to be inferred in that in differently only is there in the sutra, but we have to put this the subject, the context here. Contradiction is to be inferred differently through conclusive or valid logic. Whose statement it is? This is Sankhya statement, the Purapakshi statement. So contradiction means what? Logical contradiction in Vedantic teaching can be inferred through valid conclusive logic. The Sankhya philosopher says, contradiction in Vedantic teaching can be inferred through that. Then iti chet means, now Vedantin comes to the answer. If it is argued this way, evam api, still or yet, anirmoksha prasangaha, there is no freedom from inconclusiveness or invalidity. Even if it is argued this way, there is no freedom from inconclusiveness or invalidity. Now let us go to word significance. And then we'll also go to the second interpretation. Because the word significance will be different for the two interpretations. First interpretation, second interpretation, the word significance are going to be different. So we'll see one after the other. Now let us go to the first interpretation. Tarka apratishtanat. It consists of two words. Tarka, tarka means logic. And apratishtanat means inconclusiveness or invalidity. Therefore, tarkam apratishtanatim, invalidity of logic. This is the statement of Siddhanti. Somebody's phone. This thing is still not muted. Same problem with Galaxy phone. Galaxy S10, please mute your phone. This has been happening in every class. Tarka apratishtanat means invalidity of logic. And this is the statement of whom? Of Siddhanti. And he says, tarka is invalid or non-valid. And in this statement alone, there is a communication gap taking place. Communication gaps are there right from that time. When Vedanta says tarka is invalid, in his mind, any form of tarka is invalid if the topic is Brahman. We have to be contextually very specific. Any form of tarka becomes invalid when? If the topic concerns Brahman. No question of right logic or wrong logic. Any logic. And that distinction of right and wrong logic will come in worldly topics only. Therefore, Vedantin is what he says. Any logic is invalid with respect to Vedanta. And that is what is meant by tarkaha apratishtanat. Because Brahmanaha, Brahmanaha means, so tarka, Brahmanasa tarkyatvate, tarka apratishtanatvam. Brahman being beyond logic. Any logic is invalid with respect to Vedanta. So tarka apratishtanat. And again, to complete this word, we have to supply Vedante tarka virodaha nasti. So we have to supply those words. Tarka apratishtanatim Vedante, in Vedanta, tarka virodaha nasti, no contradiction. Since any tarka is invalid with respect to Brahman, in Vedanta Sastra, tarka virodha cannot be talked about. Because Vedanta Shastra deals with what? Brahman. And with respect to Brahman, Tarka has no validity. Therefore, Tarka should not come at all. Logic should not come at all. Tarka cannot be an examiner at all of Vedanta. When Tarka has no right to be an examiner itself, that is the question of it saying correct or wrong. The cause of the creation can never be arrived at by pure logic. There are certain topics in the world which are inaccessible to logic. And a logician should know what are the fields where the logic can work and where it cannot work. Having known that it is beyond logic, intelligent logician will not break his brain in applying logic in such a field. If invalid logic is used in the field, conclusion will be a question mark only. And you won't get doubt-free knowledge. A knowledge is a knowledge only when it is doubt-free. So we have two systems of Sankhya, which is propounded by, one is by Kapila Muni, who is one of the best logicians of that time. And through Tarka, he arrived at conclusions that Prakriti is Jagat Karanam. And on the other side, we have Kanada Muni. He is also known as Sarvajnaha, Siddhaha. And he also would have used the best and the proper logic also at that time. But Kanada Muni arrived at the same problem with the conclusion of atomic theory. And he said the cause of creation is what? Is Paramanu, atom. And he refuted Kapila Muni. We cannot say who is superior. Both are Munis, both are Sarvajnaha, great scholars. So if both are Sarvajnaha, how do they contradict each other? Both using perfect logic. One rejects the other. But what we find is Advaitin alone uses proper logic. So the first interpretation of the sutra is, now I will give you, this is the first interpretation to conclude that Advaitin alone interprets it properly. The other two are contradicting each other also. Now if you go to the second interpretation, it is in the form of a dialogue. First the Vedantin makes a statement and the Sankhya makes a statement and Vedantin again comes back with his statement. Now let us see the Vedantin statement first based on the second interpretation. Tarka apratishtanat means since logic is invalid, then we have to supply Prakriti cannot be logically proved as Jagat Karanam. This we have to supply. It is not in the sutra. So since logic is invalid, then Prakriti cannot be logically proved as Jagat Karanam. So what is the difference between first interpretation and the second interpretation? In the first interpretation, it was said, since logic is invalid, you cannot charge Vedanta with logical contradiction. And now what does Vedantin say? Since logic is invalid, Prakriti cannot be logically proved as Jagat Karanam. So then Anyata Anumeyam means in the second interpretation, Prakriti can be inferred through proper logic as Jagat Karanam. As I mentioned, he thinks of an answer like this, Sankhya. So he says, Prakriti can be inferred through proper logic as Jagat Karanam itself. So what does Sankhya say now? Improper logic may be invalid, but proper logic is valid, and through that proper logic, Prakriti can be inferred as Jagat Karana. I hope you are with me. So through improper logic, okay, we cannot conclude anything, but through proper logic, you can conclude Prakriti can be inferred as Jagat Karanam and not Brahman. Iti chet, if it is argued this way, evam api still anirmoksha prasanga. That is the answer by the Siddhanti. There is no freedom from samsara. Anirmoksha mokshaha anirmoksha prasanga. There is no freedom from samsara. What is the difference? Previously we said still there is no freedom from invalidity for proper logic, and now we say still there is no freedom from samsara. What is the significance of that? It means you may use proper logic to arrive at Prakriti as Jagat Karanam, fine. But still the knowledge will be a doubtful knowledge only. Why? It is so because Kanada Muni has concluded Paramanu as Jagat Karanam using the same proper logic. Whatever logic you are using, Kanada Muni also uses that. And he says Paramanu is Jagat Karanam, whereas you are saying Prakriti is Jagat Karanam. Therefore, your confusion will be to accept Kapila or Kanada Muni. Both are Munis, both are Sarvajnas, both are using proper logic only. We cannot accept either because both mutually refute each other. Both are great logicians who refute each other. Therefore, if you use the logic, you may get knowledge, but it will be a samshayatmaka jnana. Samshayatmaka jnanena anirmoksha prasangaha. It is a jnanam with doubts, with lot of doubts. It is not a doubt-free knowledge. With that knowledge, one cannot gain moksha. That knowledge will not give you liberation. And still worse, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is much more harsh. He says, Agnyascha ashraddha dhanascha samshayatma vinashyati. A person who has samshaya knowledge, with this doubtful knowledge, vinashyati. Nayam lokosti na paraha nasukham samshayatmanaha. Fourth chapter. Therefore, never use logic to arrive prakriti, paramanu, or to find fault with Vedanta. These are the three, yes, the essence of this sutra, these three factors. Don't try to use this prakriti, paramanu, or to find out fault with Vedanta. So what should you do? Siddhanta is asking, telling some the Sankhya, what you should do? Listen to what we Vedantins teach and keep quiet. That is what he claims. Vyasacharya's message was that. As Kathopanishad says, Naisha tarkena matirapaneyam proktam anyenaiva sugyanaya preshta. And then comes the last question. The logicians may ask, that is the Sankhyas. Logicians are Sankhyas. Or Vaisheshika, both of them. Who are called actually Tarkikas. The Sankhyas and Vaisheshika, they are called the Tarkikas. And they may ask a question, if you conclude that Tarka is invalid, why do you use Tarka at all in all Vedanta? You are trying to tell that Tarka is invalid, but you are using left and right Tarka in all your Vedanta. Why should Manusmriti itself mention Tarka as an important tool in its philosophy? There is a sloka in Manusmriti which says, Pratyaksham anumanancha shastramcha vividagamam trayam suviditam karyam dharmashuddhim abhipsata. Clearly Manusmriti says, Pratyaksham anumanancha. If Tarka is invalid, why should you use Tarka for understanding the Shastram? You yourself talk about Shruti, Anubhava, Yukti, logic, all that thing you talk. Why you talk of logic if it is invalid? Why Veda itself says, Shrotavyaha, Mantavyaha, Nididhyasitavyaha. Mantavyaha means what? Tarkena chintanam kartavyam. The definition of mananam itself is tarkataha, chintanam only, by logic only, mananam. So if Tarka is invalid, why do you incorporate Tarka? Why is Tarka talked about in Shruti and Smriti? In fact, Brahma Sutra itself is called Nyaya Prasthanam. As we told in the beginning itself, Bhagavad Gita is called Smriti Prasthanam. And the Upanishads are called Shruti Prasthanam. And Brahma Sutra is called Nyaya Prasthanam. So in Brahma Sutra, every sutra we present in the form of Anumana, Paksha, Ketu, Sadhya, Drishtanta. I have given all these factors. For example, Jagat Mithya Karyatvat Gatavate. This is the statement. Jagat Mithya. The world is Mithya. Karyatvat, because it is an effect. Karyam Gatavate, like a part. So you seem to relish making these Anumana statements very convenient to you. Who charges whom? Purvapakshi Sankhyam charges Vedantyam. For that, what is our answer? Tarka as an independent source of knowledge is not acceptable with respect to Jagat Karana. We are all very specific. Tarka as an independent source of knowledge is not acceptable with respect to Jagat Karanam. What we say is Tarka backed by Shastram. Shastra Anusari Tarka, collecting data from Shastram and use Tarka, which is called Shruti Sammata Tarka. And without keeping Shastra, independent Tarka is called Dustarka or Shushka Tarka, dry logic. That will not work. That is what our contention is, Vedantin's contention, when it comes to talking about Brahman, Jagat Karanam, those topics. That is why Shankaracharya says in Upadesha Panchakam, very nice sloka he gives. Vakyarthascha vicharyatam shrutishira pakshasamashriyatam dostarka suviramyatam shrutimatastarko nusandiyatam. Collect data from Shastra and use Tarka. But Nayayikas and Sankhyas, they collect data from the world and they try to use Tarka, which is not acceptable to us. Vedantin alone collects data from Shastra and uses logic. That means both of them use Tarka, only the source of data, that alone is different. For the Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhyas, Yogis, for all of them, even for science also, world is the source of data. That is why science can never have a conclusion with respect to the creation of the world. Therefore, source of data decides whether it is a dry logic or proper logic. Therefore, Sankhya, Vaisheshika, etc., they are wrong. Vedantin alone can be right because Vedantin uses Tarka properly using the data from the scriptures. With this sutra is also over. With this, the third adhikaranam is also over. Now let us enter into the fourth adhikaranam and the 12th sutra of this pada. Let us read this. This is called Shishta Parigrahadhikarana. Shishta Parigrahadhikarana. And the sutra, so 12th sutra is in this, the first sutra of this adhikaranam is Yetena Shishta Parigraha Api Vyakhyataha. Yetena Shishta Parigraha Api Vyakhyataha. First, let us see the general analysis, general introduction to this adhikaranam, and then we will go to the sutras. This is a small adhikaranam with only one sutra called Shishta Parigraha Adhikaranam. And because of the word occurring in the sutra, Shishta Parigraha, it is called by that name. Now, let us do the general analysis of this sutra. And this sutra is called Atidesha Sutra. Extension Sutra. Extension Sutram of the previous idea to this particular sutra. That is how it is called extension. Okay, why do we do the extension now? In the previous Adhikaranam, we refuted Sankhya philosopher both in an offensive manner and defensive manner. Yesterday I mentioned that also. And what is the defensive manner? We said Sankhya cannot use logic to criticize us. And as offensive, we also negated Sankhya's conclusion of Prakriti as Jagatkara. Therefore, we said his conclusion is wrong. And also, he cannot question ours also. That's what we said. And we also said, depending on logic by Sankhya is also invalid or defective. Depending on logic by the Sankhyas. Now, using the same argument, we say the Nyaya Vaisheshika philosopher also is to be refuted for the same reason. Why? Who is the Vaisheshika philosopher? He is the one who also says that the cause of the universe is matter only. By using Salakshanya Niyama, I hope you remember all that, Salakshanya Niyama, similarity of cause and effect. He says that Brahman cannot be Jagat Karanam, but matter alone is Jagat Karanam. Therefore, Karyam api jadam, Karanam api jadam, both are insentient. But what is the difference? He says the Jada Karanam is not Prakriti as Sankhya says, but Jada Karanam is atom or Paramanu. That's what Vaisheshika says. So, Paramanavaha eva Jagat Karanam according to them. So, there were so many atoms before creation during Pralayam. And the atoms join together, forming molecules, which join to become elements. And elements join together to become elementals. And at a particular time, from those elementals, even consciousness was generated. These are all Vaisheshika's arguments. And his main contention is that Karanam is Jada, insentient, inert. Now Vedanta says the defects found in Sankhya, the same are there in Vaisheshika also. What defect? They use logic to arrive at a thing which is beyond logic. Therefore, whatever was said in the case of Sankhya, include them for the arguments against Vaisheshika also. Therefore, tarka apratishtanat tarkika vaisheshikaha api vakyata eva. This is the general analysis. Now let us go for the word for word analysis. Etena means by this shishta aparigraha api. We have used this word yesterday. Other systems unrecognized by the wise people, like Nyaya and Vaisheshikas, all those people, Vyakyataha, they are refuted. Why? Actually, they are criticized. So this is, we do vimarshanam of them, criticize them. Okay. And the significance of the words are what? Yetena, because of the same reason. What is the reason? Sankhya philosopher also has used defective logic as his tool in a field where logic should not be used. He has used the wrong tool. And now we say that with respect to Vaisheshika also, the problem is the same. He has also used logic only as a tool. Therefore, mistake is common to both. Both used improper tools. So both are wrong. Therefore, etena. Etena means apratishtita tarka upayogena etena. Then, shishta aparigraha. The name for Nyaya and Vaisheshika philosophy he is giving here. Shishta aparigraha. Here we have to remember the six systems of philosophy. Then only we will understand this thoroughly. We talked about them in three pairs. Namely, we have already done this earlier, but I'm just only refreshing. The Sankhya and Yoga as one pair, Nyaya and Vaisheshika as another pair, and Purva Mimamsaka and Uttara Mimamsaka as Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa as another pair. And we have to keep them in mind, especially in the second chapter, to understand the totality of the picture so that we may be able to enjoy the discussion ultimately. So the first pair is what? Sankhya Yoga pair. They say, Achetana Prakriti is Jagat Karana. Both of them say, Achetana Prakriti is Jagat Karana. And the Nyaya and Vaisheshika, that pair, what they say? They also say, Achetana Paramanu, Atom, is Jagat Karana. So the first pair says, Achetana Prakriti. These people say, Achetana Paramanu, Atom. Therefore, what is common to both? Both say, Achetanam is Jagat Karana. Therefore, we can say, both pairs are four darshanas. That is, what are the four? Sankhya Yoga, Nyaya Vaisheshika. All the four darshanas are Achetana Karana Vadaha. All these four, they talk about the cause which is Achetana. So this is one common feature. And the second common feature among them is all four use logic as a primary instrument of knowledge. Therefore, they are called the Tarkikaha. Now the uniqueness of the last pair, that is the Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa, that what is the uniqueness? We don't use tarka as the primary instrument at all. We heavily argue and establish that by argument, you reach nowhere and dismiss tarka completely. Completely with respect to Jagat Karanam Brahma. And once tarka is established as a tool, we have discussed all the four philosophies, namely Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika. And that is why we say, Purva and Uttara Mimamsakas are Veda Pradanaha. And the other four are Tarka Pradanaha. For them, logic is important. For us, Shruti is important. And one more point is, we should know, this is to understand the significance of this, we have to understand this a little closely, where we'll be using it freely later. The first two pairs, namely Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, two pairs, are both tarka pradhana, as I said. Therefore, both arrive at wrong conclusions. Naturally, because they are using tarka in a field which they should not use. Okay. But even though both pairs arrive at wrong conclusions, always we say, you know, there's a term, some are more equal, right? So this is like that. Even though both pairs arrive at wrong conclusions, we find the Sankhya Yoga pair has got at least some conclusions closer to Veda Pramana. And because of that, many Vaidikas, they borrow ideas from Sankhya and Yoga, that pair. Because we find even though they make mistakes, the percentage of mistakes is relatively less compared to Nyaya Vaisheshikam. And there are so many things closer to Veda also. Like for example, Purusha is Chetana Tattvam. In Sankhya, we have already seen Purusha, Prakriti and all. So Purusha is Chetana Tattvam, Prakriti is Trigunatmakam. So Purusha is sentient, Prakriti is endowed with all the three gunas. And because of that, Sankhya Yoga path is partially accepted by the Shishtaha. Shishtaha means the traditional Vaidikas. And therefore, they get a new title. This I introduced yesterday. The Sankhya Yoga pair is called Shishta Parigraha pair. So Shishtaha means traditional people. Parigraha means partially accepted, borrowed. So even though the very word Sankhya is used very much, and the Sankhya's creation is followed by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. Bhumira aponalo vayuho khammano buddhi revacha ahankara iti yamme Hinna Prakriti Rashtadha. That creation is not Vedanti creation here. Krishna himself borrows Sankhya creation in the 7th chapter. And Bhagavatam, we find Sankhya Srishti is mostly borrowed, more than Vedanta Srishti. And as far as yoga is concerned, it is maximum borrowed by us. Yoga, Shankaracharya talks about Ashtanga Yoga. And Lord Krishna talks about Yama, Niyama, Abhyasa, Vairagya, Samadhi, Dharana, Dhyanam. Therefore, Sankhya Yoga pair, even though it is wrong, we call it Shishta Parigraha pair because it is partially borrowed. Whereas the Nyaya Vaisheshika pair is not only wrong, but it does not have even some conclusions acceptable to us. It is totally wrong, is our establishment. And therefore, Nyaya Vaisheshika pair is called Shishta Aparigraha pair. The previous one is Shishta Parigraha pair. This is Shishta Aparigraha pair, which means it is not even partially borrowed by Advaitins. Therefore, Shishta Parigraha pair has been refuted, and by the same logic, Shishta Aparigraha pair also refuted. Therefore, both paths, that is all the four systems of philosophy, are gone by this. And before going further, just to consolidate the four adhikaranas, let us just to point out that in the first adhikaranam, this is of this pada, the first adhikaranam, Vyasacharya refuted Sankhya philosophers. And in the second adhikaranam, yoga philosophy was refuted by pointing out that yoga philosophy is similar to Sankhya and no need to refute it separately. And in the third adhikaranam, Sankhya Yoga were refuted through logical discussion. And Nyaya Vaisheshika was refuted as was done for Sankhya Yoga system. So this is presented as Smriti Virodha as also Tarka Virodha Parigraha. So even though all of them were negated, because of its closeness with Vedas, Sankhya Yoga system is called Shishta Parigraha, the Shishta Parigraha system, and Nyaya Vaisheshika system is called Shishta Aparigraha system. Sankhya Yoga is popular even today, because of the limited blessings of Vedantins only. Because Vedantins have accepted part of them, because of the close affinity between Sankhya Yoga and Advaita. And Nyaya Vaisheshika systems are far away from Vedanta and it is far less required than Sankhya system. Actually, in fact, Vyasacharya himself writes a sutra later. We are going to see. Tarkasyam Atyantam Anapeksha. There is a sutra we are going to study at that time. So Tarka Shastram is far less required than Sankhya Yoga Shastram. Even Nyaya Vaisheshika system, we don't reject fully. But we do borrow whatever good it has. Therefore, in the fourth adhikaranam, Vyasacharya uses the word shishta aparigraha. So two benefits are seen now. One is its status is seen. And number two, it is refuted also. With this, the fourth adhikaranam is also over. So smriti virodha and tarka virodha parihara are over. Now let us go to the fifth adhikaranam and the 13th sutra of this pada. This adhikaranam is called Bhoktrapatyadhikaranam. Bhoktrapatyadhikaranam. Bhoktrapattehem avibhagaschetam syallokavat. Bhoktrapattehem avibhagaschetam syallokavat. This is the 13th sutra, second chapter, first pada, 147th running Brahma Sutra. So having refuted the Nyaya Vaisheshika systems, Vyasacharya again comes back to Sankhya Yoga system itself, which criticizes us with another dosha. They are bringing another dosha. There were a lot of doshas in stock. The previous criticism was what? Tarka Virodha dosha, logical contradiction. Now another defect is attributed, namely Pratyaksha Virodha dosha. This is called Pratyaksha Virodha dosha. Here, Pratyaksha Virodha Parihara is done in one sutra. It's a one sutra adhikaran. Now, we will do general analysis of this sutra. Pratyaksha Virodha Parihara. And this adhikaranam is called Bhoktrapatti Adhikaranam because the sutra begins with that word, Bhoktrapatti. And also, it's a one sutra adhikaranam as I mentioned. There is only one sutra in this adhikaranam. And what is the charge of the Sankhya Yoga system here? They say that in the world, we clearly see a distinction between subject and object. Bhokta and Bhogya. Bhokta being Chetana Tattvam and Bhogyam being Achetana. So this distinction is very evident in the world. It is Pratyaksha Siddhaha, Anubhava Siddhaha, Bhoktru Bhogya Vibhagaha. Distinction between Bhoktru, a subject object, is very distinct. And he says, in Sankhya Yoga system, this distinction is very clearly brought out. They say, Purushadi Chetana Tattvam is Bhokta Chetana Tattvam. And Prakriti alone modifies to become the Prapancha, which is Bhogya Tattvam. So Purusha is the subject, the experiencer, and Prakriti modifies to become Prapancha. Modified Prakriti is Bhogya Tattvam. As was said in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter. Prakritim Purushan Chaiva Vidhyanadi Ubhavapi Vikaram Chagunam Chaiva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan Karya Karana Kartratve Hetu Prakriti Ruchyate Purusha Sukha Dukkhanam Bhoktratve Hetu Ruchyate. So Sankhya jumps with joy when he hears all these in Bhagavad Gita statements, because all are his own language. Modified Prakriti is Bhogya Prapancha, which is Achetanam. Purusha is Bhokta, Chetanam. And in the form of Purusha Prakriti Vibhaga, distinction, the Bhoktru Bhogya Vibhaga has been clearly revealed by Sankhya's clear distinction. Purusha is Anadi, Prakriti is also Anadi, consciousness is Anadi, matter is Anadi. Therefore, Sankhya Yoga system, Purusha, Prakriti are eternal and eternally real and eternally distinct and both are Anadi in Sankhya system. And in this form, Purusha, Prakriti, Rupena, Sankhya Yoga system has justified and validated the Bhoktru, Bhogya, Vibhaga of this universe. But what happens in your Vedanta? Yes. You don't accept that a clean Purusha Prakriti system at all. You don't say that these two principles are there before creation. What do you say? Ekamevam advitiyam brahmaiva jagatkaranam brahmaiva jagatkaranam. You don't say matter is cause of the world, Bhogya Prapancha is cause of the world, and you say consciousness is the cause of this Achetana Bhogyam also. Therefore, Achetana Bhogyam and Chetana Bhokta both come from Chetanam Brahma. For both the Chetanam and Achetanam, the cause is only one. And because of this approach, the difference between the bhokta and bhogya is not very clear at all in your system, because bhokta also is Brahman, bhogyam also is Brahman. Therefore, Brahma rupena, bhokta and bhogyam will become indistinguishable. Both are Brahman. A equal to B, B equal to C, A equal to C. This is called tadabhinnam, tadabhinnabhinna nyayah. That is the name of this. Tadabhinnam, tadabhinnabhinna nyayah. Bhokta is equal to Brahman, is equal to bhogyam also. Therefore, it becomes bhokta is equal to bhogyam. Therefore, Brahma rupena bhoktru bhogya yoho avibhagaha prasangaha. No distinction between in the form of Brahman, in the bhokta, in the subject-object relationship. No difference. So what is the dosha in Vedanta charged by the Sankhya? In the form of Brahman, bhokta and bhogyam become indistinguishable. And this indistinguishability of subject and object, this non-distinction of subject and object, is the problem in Vedanta. Whose claim is? Sankhya's claim. How it is a problem? It is a problem because it is pratyaksha virodaha. Because pratyaksha pramanam shows chetana achetana vibhaga. And in Vedanta, this chetana achetana vibhaga is not distinct. Actually, for this, we give two answers. One, a superficial answer for the manda madhyama adhikari. We also divide the adhikari, the person to whom answer is given. If he is a manda madhyama adhikari, for an unintelligent purupakshi, abhyupetya vadaha it is called, abhyupetya vadaha. And that answer is what is given in the second part of this sutra. Syat lokavat, that is this term called syat lokavat is there in this sutra. That is a superficial answer. Thereafter, a serious and important answer is given in the next sutra, next adhikarana, that is called Arambhana Adhikaranam. I have already mentioned about this earlier. We are going to see it in detail. For the advanced student, it is for the advanced student. For the Manda Madhyama Adhikari student, this is the answer first. So first reply is comparable to Visishta Advaita approach, and second is Advaita approach. And this sutra is very close to Visishta Advaita approach. Okay, what is the answer? The answer given is, even though there may be one karanam, there can be differences, distinction in the karyam, in the products. Even though there may be only one karanam, but there could be differences, the distinctions in the karyam, in the products. Just because cause is one and the same, all the effects need not be identical. The effects can have distinctions and still they can have one common cause, for which we have got any number of examples. For example, like ornaments, they are all different. Vibhagaha vartate, lot of differences, but the cause, namely gold, is only one. So nama bedaha is there, rupa bedaha is there, vyavahara bedaha is there. They are all different. For example, earrings, rings, bangles, you don't put the bangles in the ears. You don't put the chain in the ears. You don't put the ring in somewhere else. So all these things, names are different, forms are different, even functions are different. But still, they all have one karanam, namely gold. And Shankaracharya gives the example of ocean. Ocean has waves, ocean has bubbles, ocean has froth. Each are different from the other. And still, they are all born out of one common cause of samudra, the ocean. In the same way, Brahman is one cause, like gold, clay, or samudra. And the entire creation, bhokta as well as bhogyam, are different, and they are various effects of Brahman. And being the effects, they are all essentially Brahman only. But still, bhokta, bhogya, vibhaga can be there. Therefore, lokavat. Syat lokavat. Lokavat means like the distinction seen in the world. Loka. And by using the word the in the world, we can give any number of examples also, as we said earlier. This is the answer. Now let us go to the word analysis. Let us give the running meaning first. So, bhoktrapattehe. Since subject is bhokta, becomes identical with object, that we have to supply with object and all. avibhagah. There will be no distinction. Again, we have to supply between the subject and object. So this is the Purvapaksha, the Sankhya Yoga's charge. Pratyaksha Virodha charge. Now Vedantin answers, Chet, if this is the objection, iti Chet, it is not valid that we have to supply. It is not the sutra. If this is the objection, it is not valid. That is Pratyaksha Virodha charge, subject, object, non-distinction charge, that is invalid. Syat means subject, object distinction will be there. Syat, it is there. Lokavat, as seen in the world. Now we will see the significance of the word. So Bhoktra Pratyehe, so we have to supply Bhogyasya, that should be understood. So Bhoktuhu, Bhogya Pratyehe, and Bhogyasya, Bhoktrutva Apatyehe, both we add. So Bhoktra Pratyehe means Bhoktu Bhogyatva Apatyehe and Bhogyasya Bhoktrutva Apatyehe, that means Bhokta becomes Bhogyam, and Bhogyam will become Bhokta, subject object. So Bhoktru Bhogya division will not be there. Subject object division will not be there because being both are Brahman. Both are Brahman because of the absence of Bhokta Bhogya difference. Bhoktra Apattihi. Bhoktuhu Apattihi. Bhoktuhu Bhogyatva Apattihi. And it is actually again Panchami, fifth case. Kheto Panchami. So because of non-distinction of subject object, Sankaraha, Sankaraha in actually Bhagavad Gita language, Jagyate Varna Sankaraha, chapter 1. So similarly, Bhoktru Bhogya Sankara Apattehe. It can be called Sankara Doshaha itself. Everything gets mixed up. Sankara means all they get mixed up. It is called Sankara Doshaha. So Avibhagaha means becoming identical. Sankaraha means Navibhagaha, no distinction. In what? According to Sankhyam, in Vedantic teaching, this distinction will not be there. Vedanta Mate, in the Vedantic teaching, it will not be there. That's to be understood. Then Chet, if this charge is imputed on Vedantic teaching, the next word is what? Syat, maybe. Maybe means what they say is not. Is when they say it is not, we say it is. For example, if someone says there is no water there, and another one says there is, then jalam is understood, water is understood. Therefore, since he has talked about vibhaga abhava, no distinction, our answer is syat. Distinction is there. That should be understood as vibhaga syat. Division is there. What vibhaga is there? Bhoktru bhogya vibhaga. That can be there in Advaitam. In answering this, we are not making a distinction between Vishishta Advaitam and Advaitam. We are not making a distinction at all. Because what is common to both? Vishishta Advaitam also is Advaitam. It's called Vishishta Advaitam. Being both, we can have one Brahman as Karana. Because Vishishta Advaitam also is Brahma Karanavadi, Chetana Karanavadi. Both are friends now. In the next chapter, they will differ. Therefore, both of them, hand in hand, they say, Eka Brahma Karanavade Api. Bhoktru Bhogya Vibhagaha Syat Eva. Even in Brahman only Karanam also, Bhoktru Bhogya Vibhagaha distinction subject object is there. And the next word is Lokavat. Lokaha Iva. It's again Saptami. So as seen in the world, as seen in the world. And Vyasacharya does not mention what is seen in the world. We have to do our homework. Even that we don't have to do, because Shankaracharya did the homework for us. He has given the key. And what is that? In his Bhashya he writes, Samudra, Pena, Bhugudha, Tarangadivata. As we said in the Samudra, in the ocean, the froth, the waves, the bubbles, all of them. That is the Drishtanta, that is the example. With this, the Bhoktrapatyadhikarana, that is over. And Pratyaksha Virodha Parigraha Parihara, that phase one, that is also over. Which is the mildest answer as given in this sutra. And we are going to the more extensive answer in the next sutra. So in giving the milder answer, Visishta Advaita Advaita differences, we need not bother now. But when we give the serious answer, Later, the distinction between Visishtadvaitam and Advaitam will get highlighted. And this will be taken up in the next Adhikaranam that we will see next week. Yo Vedadau Swaraprokto Vedante Cha Pratishthitaha Tasya Prakritilinasteya Parasamaheshwaraha Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.